We continue in the Sefer Tomer Devora, and we begin Perek Sheni, the second Perek. Od lihiyot ha'adam domi lekono besod midat haketer. More on the topic of a person emulating the midah of the crown of Keter, the highest sphira. עוד להיות האדם דומה לקונו בסוד מידת הכתר, צריך שיהיו בו כמה גופי פעולות שהם עיקר ההנהגה. In order to go in the ways of the midot of כתר, a person has to strive to attain גופי פעולות, certain ways of behavior, certain characteristics that translate into actions, which are the main hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the entire Perek Rishon, if you remember, was explaining the 13 Midot. And in the beginning of the Perek, the Tomer Devora told us that those 13 Midot are from the Keter. He said, Beferush, he said, I'm quoting from the beginning of Perek Rishon, Lefichach ra'ui shiydame el peulot haketer shehem 13 midot shel rachamim elyonot. So he explicitly said that those 13 midot of mi'el kamocha, etc., are peulot haketer. So here, clearly what he's doing is he is adding to those peulot, but he is, even more than that, he's explaining the basis for those midot. What is the over, he's going to tell us here, what is the overall midah that includes and that has the results of those 13 midot of mi'el kamocha? Where do they come from? What's the common denominator between all of those 13? They're midot of the keter. What is the common denominator between all of them? What is the main characteristic of the sfira of keter, which results in those 13 midot and in the following actions that we're going to speak about throughout Perek Sheni? And so he begins Ha'alef. He's going to give us in this Perek at least 8 pe'ulot of keter, hanhagot, ways of behavior that correspond to our head, that correspond to different parts of our head. The mind, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, they all relate to the midah of keter. Keter is rosh. So in the rosh you have all those different parts. And so he's going to teach us the midot that correspond to those different parts of keter, of the rosh. But the first one, however, that he speaks about is the general one, is the one that is the root of everything. And that's what he begins with. Ha'alef, the first one, ha'kolelet ha'kol, which includes everything. It includes all the 13 midot that we learned, and it includes all the upcoming midot or pe'ulot that he's going to speak about in regards to midat ha'keter. Hi midat ha'anava. Is the midah of humility, of humbleness, of anava. You know, before I continue, just want to mention a famous statement by Chazal. Chazal said, "Ma she'asta chokhma keter lerosha, asta anava ekev lesuliyata." What chokhma made a crown for its head, anava has it as its heel. Obviously, that's a statement to bring out the greatness of the midah of anava. And the Gemara brings it from Psukim. There is a Pasuk. Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem. The top of Chochma, Reshit, of Chochma is Yirat Hashem. So what did Chochma make as the crown on top of it? Yirat Hashem. Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem. There's another Pasuk in Mishle that says, Ekev anava yirat Hashem. The translation of that Pasuk is, Ekev, the result, the outcome of anava is Yirat Hashem. So on one hand we see Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem. When it comes to Chochma, Yirat Hashem is the head of Chochma. When it comes to anava, Yirat Hashem is the outcome, is the ekev, is the heel, is the result of anava. So that's to bring out the greatness of anava, even in comparison to Chochma. And here it works out well that the Tomer Dvora says that the mita of Keter is anava. What's the sfira that's immediately after Keter? Chochma. So Chochma has anava as its crown of crowns. So I guess you would say that the middle agent between the sfira of Chochma and Keter is Yirat Hashem. Right? But Keter, the midah of Keter, is anava. Chochma we'll get to. That's going to be the next perek. But in this perek, we're going to study a little bit, touch upon the midah of anava. So ha'echad ha'kolelet ha'kol hi midat ha'anava mipene shehit luyava keter. The midah of anava is dependent on the midah, on the sfira of keter. How? What's the connection between keter, crown, highest sfira, and anava? If anything, anava should be somewhere, you know, on the bottom. You know, keter is anava. It's a tremendous message here. Sheharehi mida al kol amidot. Number one, anava is the mida on top of all midot. The mida of keter. The mida of keter is the highest mida of all the midot. And again, the word midot and sfirot are synonymous. Ve'ena mit'alet u'mit'ga'et le'mala. And yet, even though it is the highest sfira, it's the highest mida, it doesn't elevate itself, it doesn't hold of itself higher than everyone else. Keter, the midah of Keter, behaves with anava. How? Omnam yoredet u'mistakelet lemata tadir. We don't understand this. He's saying words of Kabbalah, but he's saying it in words of pshat that we could hear. He's saying the midah of Keter is constantly looking downwards. Keter, the highest sfira, is looking downwards. There are two reasons why Keter is always looking downwards. Ha'echad, shehu bosh liistakel besibato. Number one, because Keter is ashamed to look up to its cause, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ma'atzil. He brought out, he allowed to emanate from him the 10 lights, which are called the 10 sfirot, which are called the 10 midot. And the highest light of them is Keter. So who is the ma'atzil of Keter? Who is the one that brought out, that created Keter? It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a midah that emanates from Hashem. So as if we, you know, if we can try to picture it, this is in human words, that Keter, the first emanation, the first sfira, is very shameful to look back up at its ma'atzil, at the one who created it, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela ma'atzilo mabit bo tamid lehetivo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly looking at Keter to give it good, to benefit, to give a shefa of chesed from mi'ito yidbarach into Keter, to begin the journey of hashpa'at ha'chesed la'olamot, one after the other. V'hu mabit batachtonim. So in other words, and the Keter is always looking at the lower ones. So Hashem, the ma'atzil, is constantly looking at Keter in a good way, to give it good. Keter does not look back because it is ashamed to look at the one who is being benevolent to him and the one who created him. And Keter is constantly focusing downwards on the midot that follow him. So Keter behaves with anava in two ways. It doesn't look upwards, and it constantly is looking downwards. That's what he means when he said v'zem shnei te'amim. It's anava because of two things. It doesn't look up, and it looks constantly down. Kach ha'adam, so too the Adam, צריך שיבוש מלהסתכל לצד מעלה להתגאות. A person has to have a midah of shame, of busha, not to look upwards all the time, with his head high, ככה, בקומה זקופה. To walk in a way of gaava. Shouldn't do that. אלא תדיר יסתכל לצד מטה. He should constantly look low, look down below. And it doesn't just mean in a physical way. It means in a mental perspective way. Lehavchit atzmo kol ma sheyuchal. Not to think of himself so great. As much as possible to downplay himself. V'harei ha'midah hazot hitluya derech klal barosh. Now, the physical aspect, this midah of anava, is always manifested in the head. She'en adam mitga'e ela beharamat rosho klape mala, because the physical way of demonstrating ga'ava is by picking up not his hands, not his feet, but by picking up his head. Ve'he'ani or ve'he'anav, which is almost the same word, mashpil rosho lemata. You'll notice that a poor man, a humble man, naturally his head tends to stay low. It doesn't mean that a person should walk in a way that he does not see what's in front of him, and that's only going to cause problems, right? He's only going to stumble and fall. It means that you see on his head there is a tendency of downwards. There is a softness to it that he's downwards. And that comes from anava. And it shouldn't be just a show. It should be a manifestation of what's in his mind. In his mind is to constantly look downwards. And what do I mean in his mind to constantly look downwards? It means, number one, not to think of himself so great. It doesn't mean not to know who he is. It doesn't mean not to know one's talents and one's, you know, advantages. He knows very well his good skills. But he downplays them. Downplays them mean he doesn't make them more than they really are. He downplays them in a way that's constructive, that makes himself work on becoming even better than he already is. That's anava. So that's number one. And number two, what I mean by looking downwards, he always notices people who are not as blessed as he is in all those ways that he's blessed. He notices them and he wants to help them. That's what he means, looking downwards. Someone whose nose is stuck up in the air, not only is his nose lost in the clouds, but people who are right below him, he never sees. He doesn't notice them. He doesn't realize them. He doesn't identify with them. All that is ga'ava. Anava means, number one, downplaying his greatness so that he continues to work on his greatness. You'll hear the greatest athletes in the world, that if you ask them after, let's say, a game where they were amazing, immediately a good athlete will divert the conversation to his team, will downplay his own performance. Imagine an athlete who's interviewed after a game, and the one with the microphone asking, "So what do you say? You know, you had an amazing game." "Yeah, I was amazing today. Oh boy, you watch out, I'm coming." That would be a terrible interview. That's not how a professional athlete speaks. The professional of all professional athletes will say, yes, I know, but there's still a lot more to work on. I think I could do better in this and do better in that. And the truth is, the credit goes to my coach, it goes to the team. That's normally what you'll hear from a professional athlete who has all those skills and had a great performance. Why is he talking that way? Because if he will make the mistake to say, yeah, look at me, I did a great job, he will not be doing a great job the next game. Because the first thing to cause a person failure is thinking too much about one's greatness. Then you lose focus. And you'll see all of a sudden, what happened? Last week he had such a great... What happened? He was focused on himself. So they're taught not to focus on themselves, to focus on the game. Focus on getting better. Team. And all that. And that's how they become better and better. So this is a fact of life. That anava is what brings out productivity. It's what brings out a better result of oneself. So downplaying oneself doesn't mean, what do you mean if I down that? What do you mean we're taught to be confident? We're taught to think. Of course, this is not a contradiction to confidence, but it should be a healthy confidence. A healthy confidence is anava. That's anava. And the second aspect is to look at other people who do need help and not to ignore them. So that's the midah of anava that we learn from Keter. And we have to stop here. We'll continue tomorrow.